Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. We'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And let's pray. Father, thank you for being a God that never sleeps or slumbers, a God that has all strength and all power. And Lord, tonight as we open your word, would you give us a truth to help us? The world calls this the dog days of summer and the lazy days of summer, and seems like everything we do takes a little more energy to get done because of the heat and all that takes place. I pray that you'd give us your power tonight. May we listen carefully in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Tonight, we read a passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 40. The Bible is very plain and very clear. It says that God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he doesn't get tired. Says he doesn't get weary. Says he has all strength. But he also says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We all get tired and we all feel weak from time to time. Seems like the older we get, the more we see it and the more we admit it. Did you ever notice naps are wasted on the wrong people? Why is it we let the little puppies that have more energy than anybody take a nap, and us people that work hard don't get to take one in the middle of the day? I don't understand that. The people of this church are some of the hardest working people I know, and I mean that. I don't have a lot to brag about in my life, and I understand that. But I do know this. I've kept a pretty rugged schedule for about the last 30 years of my life. I'm not afraid to go shoulder to shoulder and work with anybody. I don't know that I work harder than anybody, but I keep a pretty rigorous schedule. But I've noticed something. People become spiritually tired as well. There is a difference between your body being tired and your spirit being tired. I've watched many people, strong people. They go through a big battle, and it seems like, boy, I can't believe they made it all the way through that battle, and just a little while later, they just give up. I'm thinking, man, why'd you give up? You just won the battle. Why did you give in? Why'd you roll over and die now? And it seems like they just give up right after that. You see, spiritual battle is so much harder than a physical battle. It's a battle you can't touch. You know, you can't walk up and punch out a spirit. Did you ever try? Yeah, you can't walk over and pull out your 243 and shoot a spirit and take care of business, amen? It's just not there. Spiritual battle is tough. A physical battle, a couple days rest, you can come back from that thing. A little bit of good food, good rest, and you can get yourself revitalized, and man, you can push on through that thing. You fight a spiritual battle, you wake up and it's staring you in the face. And a lot of times, you wake up in the middle of the night and it's staring you in the face. And you're wondering if it's got four eyeballs looking at you. The other day, Levi and my son Josh and I, we went to help one of our church members. He had a huge red oak tree that went down in his on his property, and I mean huge. Brother Barnes, we cut 7 truckloads of wood in 3 hours. And none of it was for me, but I used my brand new chainsaw. I was a happy man. I did learn something. 3 hours nonstop, the only time you stop a chainsaw is to put oil and gas in it. It's enough to wear you out in 90-degree weather. I mean to tell you, I was shot. I didn't care if I ever saw that chainsaw again. You say, what'd you do? went home, cleaned up, sat down for an hour or two, got up, went on a bowling activity with a bunch of teenagers and went bowling. Say, did you feel like it? No, but you ask the teenagers, they'd have never known I did that all day long. Say, why? I got my strength renewed. It was physical strength. Now, I'll be honest with you. I like cutting wood. I like splitting wood. I don't like carrying wood. I like doing all the others, amen? I like that kind of work. It's a release for me. But may I say this? You put me in an office for 3-4 hours and try to put a marriage back together or counsel and deal with this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem, and you're not going to get it all fixed in one counseling appointment, usually. And I'll be honest with you, counseling's far harder than cutting wood any day. I was talking to a preacher this week, and he said, how's the counseling load? I said, oh, it gets heavy from time to time. He said, be careful, that stuff will make you old fast. I said, I'm finding out, it's getting grayer quicker, amen? I said, you're right, it's stress, it's hard. You think of how hard the problem is on you, multiply that by 150, 160, that's what I'm carrying right now. See, I do my best to help you carry the load. And spiritual battles are often harder than we know what to do with. I've been to those points in life where I didn't think I could keep on going. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I was physically to the end of the rope. You know, God, if I pick it up, will you put it down? I'm not sure I can get it there. You know, I'm begging God, one more step, one more step, one more step. I've been through those conferences. God bless us. I used to work at First Baptist, and we'd have pastor's school. Say, what did you do? Well, for some reason, Brother Hiles had this wonderful idea to have the biggest day of the spring program start the spring program. Amen, Brother Hawkins? So you work like a dog for 2 weeks before pastor school, and then the day before pastor school starts, you have the biggest wing dinger of a spring program start that you've ever had in your life. And then you got to work all night long Sunday to get things ready for pastor school on Monday. And then you work 20-hour days Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday cleaning up. And then you die. I'd come home, and I literally would work 20 to 21 hours a day, go home for 3 or 4 hours. I would lay down, and my wife would stay up and rub the knots out of my legs because I'd run up and down 4 flights of stairs on an average of 100 to 110 times a day, just running and running and running and running as fast as you can run, and then all the pressures, and then things change and all those things. I've been there. I've pushed my body hard. It was my junior year of college. I was taking 21, 22 hours of class. I started working in a machine shop in Valparaiso, Indiana, which was about an hour drive from the college. So I was working 40 hours, driving an hour to work, driving an hour back, 10 hours a day for work total, taking 22 hours of class. I was a Bible club leader. I was a bus captain. I was teaching D-teen Sunday school, and I was an assistant to Brother Owens. And I had just started dating my wife, and it was 1987, and Brother Hiles had this idea. It's the 100th anniversary of the church. There's 78,000 people in the city of Hammond. We're going to have more people in church on one Sunday than we have in the whole city of Hammond. Right. He decided we could have open-air meetings. Brother Owens and I would get off work at midnight, drive over into Harvey, Dalton, Dixmoor area of Illinois, spend a couple hours into the wee hours in places we should have never been at that hour of the night, let me tell you. And plan, get home, get back to the dorm at about 3 in the morning, get up at 5 and start all over again. I did that for 30 days straight. I mean 2 hours of sleep or less for 30 days straight. I got to the point where my body was shutting down. My mind was still going and the body said, you can go on without me. I got through it. But my body shut down. I have every once in a while, for about 10 or 15 years, I'd have a little spell every once in a while when I'd push it too hard. I'd have about a 2-minute warning that my body was about to shut down. I would either have somebody call my wife, or if she was near me, I'd say, uh-oh, it's about to happen. And I'd literally have about a minute and a half, 2 minute warning. That's it. I could tell it's over. And next thing I know, it's 16, 18, 20 hours later, and I'd wake up. Literally. I mean, my body would just stop. And I'd have, you know, once a year, I'd take that. Well, I started working in another church, and I was principal in the school. I was youth director. I was teaching a young couples class, build a couples class with nothing to about, 40 or 50 in it in just a short amount of time. I was overseeing the Little League and started a Little League. I started Bible clubs. I was doing all this, and I didn't have a secretary. And it seemed like about every other month I was having one of these spells. My wife says, either you slow down or you're going to die. So I had to back off a little bit. But I remember that big day when it first hit. You know, after that 100th anniversary, myself and 12 other men, we were responsible for 2,377 people being in church with 1,085 people saved in one day. Say, was it worth it? Of course. Would you do it again? Of course. Say, why? Because I'm not going to rust out. I'm going to go out shining, amen? 27 times in the Bible, God commands us to be strong. I won't take you to all these places, but the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, be strong, be strong, be strong. But there are times where you don't feel like being strong. But may I say this, God never commands you to do anything he cannot nor will not equip you to do. Do you know that God will not ask you to do something you cannot do? Say, oh, I don't feel like I can. Doesn't matter what you feel. God said, if I command it, I've given you the wherewithal to do it. Period. See, he won't give you a command that you cannot keep. This means you must decide to be strong when you're not. Now listen to me very carefully. I found the secret to being strong. You ready? It's real simple. It means not having stress. Stress steals strength. The more stress you relieve around you, the stronger you become. You look at the weakest person or the weakest times of your life, and it's when you're all freaked out and stressed out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The elimination of stress is the secret to strength. Say, well, then we'll just vacate for 50 weeks a year and work for 2 weeks and we won't have any stress. It won't work that way. Let me give you a little four or five point here that I want to help you with. Number one. How do you relieve stress and be strong? Make God happy. Number one, make God happy. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm going somewhere with this, so hang on. I'll show you something. Nehemiah chapter 8. Look at verse number 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember that song? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You all know that song? Notice it doesn't say, your strength is God's joy. God says, you making me joyful gives you strength. We get that song backwards. We think that, well, I'll make God smile and I get happy. No. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If I can give God joy, I can get strength. It does not say you being happy will make you strong. It says God being happy will make you strong. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing to make God happy? Everybody out there? Hello, hello, hello. If we make God happy or have joy, we gain strength. Watch a tired parent go to a ball game once to watch their kid play ball. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You don't feel like going. You don't want to go. You get there, and what happens? That's my kid out there. All of a sudden, you get a little extra oomph in you just to get through the game. Now, when the game's over, you don't care what happened. But you had enough strength during that game because you were there for your child. And that child was pleasing you doing what they were supposed to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they made you happy, which gave you strength. Can I tell you something? When you make God happy, He'll give you strength. God will give you strength when you make Him happy. Can I tell you what makes God happy? Soul winning. Turn to Luke chapter 15. You're going to use your Bible a little bit tonight. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to use the same passage twice here, so hang in there. Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at verse number 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, doth light a candle, sweep the house till she diligently seek it. And skip down to verse number 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Can I tell you something? When you get people saved, it gives you strength. I have been out soul winning thousands of times. I am sure hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those times I didn't feel like doing it. Just so you know. Brother Colin, you know what I'm talking about. He was talking about soul winning this morning in his Sunday school class. How many times have you been out soul winning thinking, it's hot, I'm tired, I've been busy all week, I got a lot to do, the grass is about 4 foot deep, I got the wife mad at me, the dog's mad at me, the kids are upset, and I've got too much to do, why am I out here? But I'm going to do it anyway. You knock on a door, you open up your mouth and say, look, if you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? They say no. All of a sudden, something kicks in. And it's like, whew. Man, you get going down through the plan of salvation with that person. By the time you're done, it doesn't matter what's going on out there. You're so strong, you don't care. You're ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun, amen? Say why? Because you made God happy. God gave you strength to go on to the next one. So God says when you win people to Him, seeing people saved, that gives you strength. But I want you to know something else about that passage. I'm not against teaching this as a soul winning passage, but that's not just about soul winning. It says, what man having a sheep and lose one, he's not worried about the 99 just ones. He goes after the lost one. That's another sheep. Restoring backslidden Christians makes God happy. Did you hear that? I'm for soul winning, but I'm just as for reaching those that are saved that aren't doing nothing for God. God said restoring those makes Him happy. Go ahead and read the passage later. You'll find out that's talking about a Christian. Folks, it's our job to go out and get the lost sheep. Those are the stray sheep. It's our job to go out and reproduce in the fold. That's produce new sheep. Amen? That's soul winning. But there's sheep out there that need reached. Well, my neighbor, nobody wants him. He got mad. He got out of church years ago. Nobody wants him. We want him. I had somebody call recently the church, and they said, Brother Mike, you'll get a kick out of this one. They said, do you accept sinners at your church? I said, that's all we are. You're more than welcome. They didn't know how to respond. They said, you're a sinner? I said, yep. I said, what person is it? I said, look, if you can't go to church where there's sinners, you're not going to go to church anywhere. They had a hard time getting that through their head. Can I tell you something? It's our job to restore people that are backslidden. Folks, as long as everything's going okay with you right now, I'm happy for you. But guess what? One day your kids are going to grow up, or you're going to backslide, and you're going to wish somebody was living this way. Just so you know. By the way, as I preached last week, all of us backslide. Some might be more obvious than others, but guess what? We're to restore them. Say, are you going to invest money in people that are backslidden? You betcha. This is not a museum where we're going to hang relics on the wall and say, look at that one, and look at that one, and look at that one, and look at that one. This is a hospital where people that are sin sick come and get help. Say, well, I'm not sick right now. You're sicker than you know. You need it more than you think. And if you don't need it right now, it's preventive maintenance. Amen? Just take the medicine anyway. It'll keep you from getting sick later, I promise you. I hope, like all get out, that our church, of any church, would be a place where it doesn't matter who you are, you're able to walk through that door. I will die in this pulpit preaching that doctrine right there. I believe that every Christian, as long as they're still sucking air, has the right to walk in. The building's not going to fall down. God never said, you're a bad enough sinner where the building will fall down. Say, well, I know somebody and I'm mad. They hurt me. And if they ever showed up at this church, then you better get at this altar right next to them. Hello. There's not a human being on the face of the earth that's not, in my opinion, able to walk through those doors right there and come and sit in this church. I don't care who they are. Say, well, what about, no, them too. Well, what about him too? What about her too? Say why? Everybody has to hear the preaching. Everybody's got to get right with the Lord. That makes God happy. Just so you know. Man, do I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. So make God happy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Next. You ready? Working for God will give you strength. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Say, but I'm too tired to do much else. Working for God will give you strength. Matthew chapter 11, let's look at verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, watch this, and I will give you rest. Does he say lay down in your bed and do nothing? Oh no. So he say, sit down on the couch with big glass of lemonade and kick your feet up and watch baseball game? Nope. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, jump in the yoke with me. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound like rest. Yes, it does. Here you are trying to pull your burden all by yourself. And you're struggling. God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And God says, yoke up with me. He said, I'm not going to take your burden away, but we're going to pull together. And when we start pulling together, you're going to gain strength. That's part of what life is all about. Thank you. Hey, as you raise your kids, those of you who got young children, give them jobs bigger than they're able to do, but only pull the weight you have to pull with them. I believe, especially with boys. Man, you say, what do? Wear the wiggles out of them little critters, amen? Give them stuff too big for them to do. You say, but they can't handle it. That's why you're there. Then you pick up just a little of it. If that thing weighs 15 pounds and it can only carry 10, you carry the other 5, let them carry the 10. But put all 15 on there, they might be carrying 11 before too long, amen? You build their strength by helping them do more than they can do. That's the problem with education in America. We're not pushing our kids. Back in the 1960s and 70s, we started going on the curve. Yeah, we dumbed down our schools. Now we got kids graduating from school that can't read and write. We spend billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars every year for education in America, and we're dumber than we've ever been. Somebody shot me an email this week of a guy on the streets. He was getting people to sign a petition. He was showing how stupid people are in America. He said, here, sign this petition to repeal the Bill of Rights. The president wants us to repeal the Bill of Rights. Would you sign this petition? And people were signing it left and right. They don't even know what the Bill of Rights are. And they were signing a petition to get rid of the Bill of Rights in America. Hello. America, come home. They want to call me a loose nut and a lame brain. I've got more sense in that little finger than they got their whole head. Folks, when you work for God, God does not give you more strength. Listen to this statement. God will not give you more strength until you use the strength you do have. If you want to get stronger, you have to use up the strength you have. You don't get more strength by sitting on the couch saying, I'm going to get strong. I'm going to watch TV and watch these guys exercise. I'm going to get strong. You definitely don't get strong watching Richard Simmons, amen? You could sit there on the couch all day long eating Pop-Tarts and potato chips all day long, watching people exercise and not get strong. What makes you strong? Getting out and using up every bit of strength you have. Amen, Levi? Man, 3 hours of throwing wood on the other day. We were so tired, we were done. My son looked at me and said, Dad, you can keep cutting, but I ain't moving one more. I'm done. Man, this tree was huge. It's what, a 20-inch blade on that thing? I was cutting down both sides of the log and barely getting it cut, you know. 36 inches across, and I wasn't at the base of the tree yet. We're rolling logs. We had to move them about twice the length of this room. I said, man, load them in the truck. Let's drive them over there and kick them off the back end. We had logs that we literally could roll up on the bumper of my truck. They were that high. And we're trying to pick these puppies up. We're done. Say, what happened? All the strength was gone. Say, what'd you do? We got stronger. How'd you get stronger? We used up all of our strength. That makes us have the ability to get more strength. When you get tired spiritually, most of you have never exerted yourself spiritually enough to get spiritually tired. See, I just have a hard time growing. I get weary of this one. I'm going to go somewhere where I get fed. Well, if you had to feed your 13-year-old with a spoon going, open your mouth, your something died. Hello. Hello. I think we lost the battery. Nope, it came back. Stupid microphone. If you had to play, you know, the helicopter game with your 13-year-old to get him to eat, you'd say, something's wrong. Guess what? I'm not the only one supposed to feed you. I'm supposed to give you the tools for your toolbox to learn how to shovel that stuff in yourself. Amen? If the only spiritual strength you get is from behind this pulpit, keep coming, but this isn't all you're supposed to get. You're supposed to learn how to feed yourself a little bit. You're supposed to get in that book for yourself. You're supposed to get on your knees for yourself. You're supposed to go help somebody else to get strong and fight a battle spiritually. Boy, that's good stuff. say, well, I'm just going to sit here and wait on the Lord. Folks, that word wait doesn't mean sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing. If you went to a restaurant after church tonight and sat there and the little gal that was supposed to come take your order never came, and 20 minutes later she still hadn't come, you're going to get upset. Then she takes your order and it takes another hour before they do anything with it, or they did something with it but she didn't bring it by, you're going to be upset. She's called a waitress. She's waiting on tables. She's serving people there. God's tired of you doing nothing. He said, you start serving me and I'll renew your strength. Folks, you get strong by serving other people. Can I tell you what makes me strong? Serving. I'll be honest with you, I was tired today. I could not wait to get up and preach this morning. I was about to come unscrewed. I was tired this afternoon. I took about a 10-minute nap. Say why? My belly was full. I was in a comfortable spot, and I fell asleep for about 10 minutes. I wanted to not resurrect either, but I did. I'm as strong now as I was any day of my life. You say why? I'm serving God right now. Serving God gives you the energy, the strength, spiritually and physically, to do what you're supposed to do. Boy, that's good. God will pull the yoke with us, but you have to keep pulling to get stronger. When you get busy working for or with someone else, you're busy forgetting about what you have for yourself to do. If you'll just start helping other people, guess what? The stress load will start working off. You'll forget your problem and get concerned about somebody else's. And as you forget about yours, the stress releases, strength comes in, so that when you go back to your problem, you have the strength to make it and carry your load. Boy, that's good stuff. The Bible says, visit the poor, the widows, and the fatherless. Hello. That means we're supposed to go out and reach other people. We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to help those that are sick. We're supposed to lift the fallen. We're supposed to restore the backslidden. Well, I'm not a greeter at the church, so I'm going to sit on my chair and do nothing. Who says you had to have the official position? Get up and greet people as they come to church. Well, I'm not an usher. Well, if you want to be, come see me. I'm not making any promises, but I don't think Brother Eckert would be too upset with having too many ushers. this one's going to hurt. How about trying working in the nursery? Do a tour of duty, amen? Men, that's not for you. We want our children to live more than an hour. There's things to do on the buildings and in the grounds here. And as soon as we get this contract signed, there's going to be a whole lot more to do. Now, wait a minute. There's things to volunteer for. There's nursing homes. I could go on and on. Doing God's work will make you strong in your body, but it'll also make you strong in your spirit. Some of you are not happy spiritually because you're not doing anything spiritually. So number one, make God happy. Number two, working for God will give you strength. Number three, doing the will of God will give you strength. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And I will quickly get through the next 2 points here. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 29. You ready? Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction should be to the workers of iniquity. Did you catch that? The way of the Lord is strength. Can I tell you something? When you're doing the will of God, you have strength. I am smack dab in the center, bullseye, X in the bullseye, in the cross section of the X of the bullseye of God's will right now. I know that. Guess what? I have all the strength I need. Trust me. Don't give me any more caffeine. Say why? I don't need it. I've got God's will. Say, how have you been able to keep such a rigorous pace for the last almost 30 years of life? Because I've been in the will of God for the last 30 years of my life. I think I can say this. I don't think there's been a day in the last 30 years that I've been out of God's will. I've known since I was a senior, or before I was a senior in high school, that I was supposed to go to the Bible college I went to. I went there, I graduated, and been in the ministry in the right place every time, all this time. Guess what? I got plenty of strength. Do I always feel strong? No, but I got the strength to keep on going. Boy, that's good stuff. When I do the will of God, I get strength. When I disobey God's will, I lose strength. Did you ever notice a drunkard's lazy? Y'all know what I'm talking about? A drunkard is lazy. They don't show up to work on time. They think about drinking when they're supposed to be working. Half the time they're there drunk and don't do what they're supposed to do. Did you ever notice a dope head, pothead? They're lazy. Drug addicts are lazy. They steal instead of work. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This one's going to hurt. Did you ever notice that the rock music culture is lazy? It's all they want to do is party. They don't want to work. Look at the generation that's been raised on rock music and look how lazy they are. Everybody doing okay? Did you ever notice that the nightclubbers are lazy? They stay out too late at night to get to work and do the work they're supposed to do. If they had to get up at 5 a.m. to get ready and go to work, they say, I can't do that. I didn't get home till 2 o'clock this morning. That's your own stupid fault. I'm not going to get a job where I got to get up early and go. We live in such a stupid generation. Sleep becomes more important because God can give you what sleep cannot. Can I tell you something? There are times where I don't sleep a lot, about 7 days a week. There's times that I need God to replace what sleep did not do. I have a friend that, for years has prayed for me. And he always prays this, may every hour of sleep seem like two to him. I appreciate that. That means I could sleep 4 hours and get 8 hours of rest in God's mind. Say, how do you keep, by the way, if I sleep 4 hours, that's a good night's rest, amen? 4 to 5 hours, here we go. I'm ready to go for the next 19 or 20. Say, I could do that for a day or two. No, I've lived that way for 25 years of my life. Say, why? Because I'm having fun serving God. I'm doing the will of God. I don't want to sleep through the will of God. And by the way, God will give you true rest. I don't lay awake at night thinking about problems. There's times I wake up thinking about sermons. There's times I wake up thinking about answers to things. But I don't lay awake worrying about problems. I really don't. Doing the will of God will take your nightmares away. Listen to me very carefully, and I'll touch on this very carefully. I do believe there is such a thing as stress syndrome, where people have nightmares like that fought in war and different things. But may I say this, the more you do the will of God, the less of those nightmares you have. I've proven it over and over and over again. When you fulfill God's will, he will help you do it and give you more strength. And I've got to finish here. Stress keeps you from being stronger. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, and I'll finish with this. Number 4, Proverbs chapter 24. Stress keeps you from being stronger. Look at verse number 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Folks, anybody can be strong on a day they're strong. Anybody can be strong when they don't have any opposition. You know what I'm talking about. When you're the only one playing the game, you're the winner, so it doesn't matter. When you're playing a lesser team and there's no competition, you don't have anything to worry about. When do you get worried? When you play somebody better than you. When you got to challenge somebody that's tougher than you. When you're going against competition that's better than you, the stress is on. And folks, when you go against somebody stronger than you, that's when you gain strength. Some of you need to quit whining and complaining about the load you have. Pick it up and say, God's trying to make me stronger so that I can carry a bigger load and help more people. God, for some reason, has let me carry a heavy load. You know why? Because I get to help carry for a lot of people. Boy, that's good. Stress is caused by us thinking about ourselves. I read this week. 90% of physical problems are due to how much we think about our problems. You all know what I'm talking about. You wake up, you're fine. Your wife looks at you and says, "You feeling okay?" "Yeah, why?" "You don't look like you feel good." "No, I'm feeling fine." You go about your business for a little bit. "You sure you're feeling okay?" "Why? What's the matter?" "I think I'm feeling pretty good." Then the kids get up. "Dad, you feeling okay?" "I was." Then your daughter walks up. "Daddy, you sure you feel okay?" "I'm not feeling good now." Y'all know what I'm talking about? You were fine when you got up. They convinced you you weren't feeling good. You can talk yourself into getting sick. I'm one of those people, and pardon me, this is not going to be the most cool thing, but I do not. Okay, this is one way, goes down. God didn't intend for your food to come back up the same way it goes down, amen? I'm convinced of that. That's why the Bible talks about a dog returning into his vomit, not a person, okay? I don't like to throw up. I take it to the ridiculous end. My wife will tell you, I fight it. I'm not one of those people. I'll sit there and go, oh, hold that thing in. And there's other people, God bless you. "Man, get rid of that, you'll feel better." "No, I won't." That's not true. You don't understand. If that's feeling better, I'll stay sick. Fight that, man. I fight that urge. And I don't get nauseated hardly at all. I mean, I'm just not that kind of person. Now, you give me a kidney stone, that's a whole different world. We're not worried about that, all right? But outside of that, I probably haven't thrown up 5 different times in the last 25 years we've been together. I mean that. Say why? I just hate it that much. Can I tell you something? I convince myself I'm not that sick. When I decide it's time, look out. If I'm that sick, the world's stopping for a few hours, amen? Because I'm going to be one miserable baby for a while. Now, wait a minute. I got to tell the story. My daughter was sitting on my lap one day, and she was crying. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I got a cough." She was real little. I said, "Well, then cough." And she could all over top of me. I had to teach her the difference between what cough and bruh is, all right? Not a good thing. So the big joke at my house is, "I got a cough, you know? Get away from me." People talk themselves into believing they're sick or weak spiritually. Some of you actually talk yourself into thinking you're not spiritual. Quitting on God when you're tired will not give you more strength. It'll weaken you. You go to the doctor. "Oh, you're too busy. you need to give up some things at church. Why is it they never tell you to give other things up? Do you ever notice? I can tell you what'll make you feel better. Forget yourself. If you forget about yourself and your own problems, you won't quit. Fellas, okay, you're having a hard time paying all the bills. Don't quit your job. I watch people struggle with their bills. What's the first thing they do? They quit their job. I'm thinking, now what? You say, that's crazy. I watch people do it every month of my life. I'm having troubles paying the bills. So what do? They go buy a brand new $3,000 couch just to make themselves feel better because they're having financial troubles. Take the stupid thing back. Use the money to pay your bills. Well, I don't want anybody to think I'm struggling. I hate to tell you, everybody else is struggling too. Who cares? If I'm paying attention to what God says to me, I don't have time to think about my own problems. If I'm not thinking about my problems, I'm not stressing. If I'm helping somebody else with their problems, I'll get my mind off my problems and maybe get the strength and the answer to my problems when I go back to my problems. Boy, that's good stuff. There's times I'm helping people through their burdens, and my burden, honestly, is bigger than theirs. I put mine aside, help them with theirs. I go back to pick mine up thinking, man, that was heavy, but it doesn't feel as heavy right now as it was before. What happened? And God says, it's all the one Jews help somebody else, and I'd show you how to carry yours. Hot diggity dog, here we go. Let's go find somebody else. You don't need more video games, ball games, craft projects, etc., to get strong. Vacation is good and necessary, but it won't make you strong. Missing church won't lighten your schedule, and nor will it make you stronger. Make God happy, work for God, do God's will, and don't live with stress. That's how you become strong physically and spiritually. I did not say stress wouldn't come your way, but you don't have to live with it. Some of you think about it way too much. That's how you become strong when you don't feel like it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We all have burdens to bear. We all have things to carry that are heavy. We all have a heavy load, and it's different for others. Some of it's spiritual, some of it's physical, some of it's both. I don't know your need tonight, but God does. Maybe just need to get the strength to get up and come to this altar or use your chair there as an altar.